Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Monday, December 13, 2021. South Sudan takes control of her airspace after almost 11 years.
We are now controlling our low airspace. We are independent now from Sudan and we are building now. The company now is waiting.
And civil servants in Jonglei State block roads during a demonstration.
Our money need to be given to us today, and we want everybody to be noticed for the public rights.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudan's National Minister for Transport says his government has taken over the ownership of the country's lower airspace from Sudan and will soon reclaim its upper space. The minister says a Sudanese committee managing South Sudan's airspace was supposed to train South Sudanese in 3 years to take over the airspace management, but that arrangement did not succeed. He says South Sudan will start collecting fees from all aircrafts using her airspace. For VOA News, Winnie Chirino reports from Juba.
Transportation Minister Madut Biaro says now that South Sudan controls its lower airspace, it can collect fees from airline companies, which he says could generate tens of millions of dollars in revenue each year.
We are now controlling our lower airspace. We are independent now from Sudan, and we are building now. The company now is waiting to build necessary infrastructure to control our upper airspace so that we become now an independent country, not only by land, but also by air.
Biaro says previously South Sudan did not have the infrastructure to manage the country's airspace. He says the government has mainly been sending its air controllers to neighboring countries like Sudan for training. He says Sudan has managed to South Sudan's upper airspace, something he says makes the country lose important revenue.
Sudan, we was given management of our airspace, collecting overflying fees for our airspace in the tune of millions of dollars per month. They could not meet their obligation to train our civil aviation staff until the corona came in and become an excuse to them that we are not training any longer because all the facilities is being locked down. So I met with the colleagues in the civil aviation, and in the ministry I said, okay, let us think of having our own people. We contacted the regional office and they recommended a qualified firm by Ikao Civil Aviation International, and now they are training our controllers.
Biaro says a number of air traffic controllers have been trained in South Sudan and have been undergoing certification and licensing so they will soon be able to manage the country's airspace. Abraham Kwal, a professor of political science at the University of Juba, says airspace is something key that almost every country fights for because it shows that a nation is trying to control its territory at the national level.
The aspect of South Sudan trying to begin owning their airspace is something that should be applauded and is something that should be appreciated because it shows that South Sudan now is trying to have a privilege or mostly of exercising its own sovereignty. And at that point, South Sudan now will be able to have the right to grant passage or entry through their own airspace as a result of that.
Kwal says it's important to realize that a country can be attacked either through ground, its water source, or by air. He says South Sudanese can feel confident that their airspace will be protected by nationals.
The layman will be able to benefit from the security threat, okay, because there might be issues dealing with invasion of South Sudan territory, and as a result of that kind of an aspect, if the invasion is done to South Sudan through the airspace, then that one is going to affect the normal people of South Sudan. Secondly, sometimes there are some tariffs that could be levied as a result of you trying to use the airspace. And that tariff should be able to accumulate later on and to become part of the income to the state.
income that Kwol says can be used to provide services to the people of South Sudan. He says South Sudan likely needs more equipment to control its airspace, but that shouldn't discourage the government. He says South Sudan officials should now focus on investing in the necessary equipment for air traffic control. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
The Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, has blocked South Sudan from participating in the activities of the regional bloc after Juba did very little to clear its overdue membership fees. A Juba-based political analyst says the South Sudan government should pay its membership fee to IGAD on time to allow the country to take part in the regional bloc's activities. A professor of political science at the University of Juba says South Sudan's image as a country could be damaged if it does not value regional organizations. For VOA News, Sheila Pony reports from Juba.
IGAD suspended South Sudan over unpaid membership fees. Information Minister Michael Makwei confirmed the suspension while addressing reporters following last Friday's Council of Ministers meeting.
We have been actually suspended from IGAD simply because we have not paid our dues. And there are so many vacancies which we are supposed to occupy, about 14 of them, which are supposed to be our positions. We are unable to occupy them simply because we have not paid our dues for long.
In a letter written by the IGAD Executive Secretary Ismail Wise, addressed to President Salva Kiir, dated September 16, 2021, South Sudan's assessed contribution for the financial year 2021 was more than $1,630,000. The letter seen by South Sudan in Focus also indicates South Sudan must pay arrears totaling more than $8,142,000 as per a committee of ambassadors who met on March 23, 2021. In all, South Sudan owes IGAD more than $9,780,000 to facilitate operations of the IGAD Secretariat. Abraham Kwol, a professor of political science at the University of Juba, says South Sudan needs to first clear its membership fees with IGAD so it can participate in the regional bloc's activities.
The government of South Sudan should be able to reconsider and get the money as soon as possible, because this suspension is showing a bad sign of the country.
The suspension means South Sudan cannot take part in IGAD activities until its debts are cleared, according to Kwol.
As long as South Sudan even clear their debts today, tomorrow they will be able to actively participate in the activities of the region, of the regional organization. Mm-hmm. And this is why we are saying probably it might be just a suspension or withholding all the activities and all the benefits that people of South Sudan were supposed to get from this organization.
IGAD played a key role in brokering South Sudan's revitalized peace agreement, notes Kwol, and says its suspension from the regional bloc means IGAD members' countries will be reluctant to push for the implementation of the peace agreement.
The regional organizations or the members of IGAD are going to see South Sudan as one of the children within the house that is not disciplined and not respecting the protocol of the house. And as a result of this suspension is like being disowned by the institutions that is trying now to bring them to the track of stability.
Makwei says South Sudan's cabinet has directed the foreign affairs and finance ministers to find a way to pay the outstanding dues.
Instead of looking for only one item out of the overall, there was a resolution passed about 3 weeks ago directing that the foreign affairs, all the areas of foreign affairs and all the areas of our dues in the organization should be paid by finance.
In 2020, South Sudan was barred from membership in the African Union after it failed to pay annual membership fees for 3 straight years As a result, South Sudan's African Union representative could not take part in the African Union summit. In January 2021, South Sudan was one of the countries mentioned by United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres that had not paid their annual $22,804 in UN contribution since 2019. In October, South Sudan's Council of Ministers approved a payment of nearly $100 million to the Ministry of Foreign Affairs to cover all outstanding debts that had occurred over an extended period of time. For VOA News, I am Sheila Aponi in Juba.
Civil servants in Jonglei State capital Bor are protesting against what they called a failure by state officials to implement the National Ministry of Labor and Public Service new salary structure. Some government employees marched in Bor, chanting slogans and blocking roads leading to the Bor airstrip and other areas of the town. For VOA News, Dengai Deng has the story from Bor town.
Hundreds of school teachers, healthcare workers, and other civil servants chanted slogans like "No for corruption" and carried placards saying "We demand our full payments and allowances" as they marched toward the governor's office. The protesters erected barricades along the Pakwau Highway, blocking traffic along the main roads that link the Bor airstrip to other parts of town, the governor's office, and Maror Market. Peter Mayana Agany is a teacher at Malek Secondary School. Agany says he joined the protest because he is frustrated by what he calls ongoing mistreatment by corrupt government officials.
Our money need to be given to us today, and we want everybody to be noticed for the public rights. This is our right as teachers to be paid today from the different institutions of the government of Jonglei State, to be paid as teachers of Jonglei State, including all the government institutions. So nobody can deny that. And they were saying that our right is now baseless. No baseless, we have confidence of credit advice.
Protester Ayun Loach is employed by the Jonglei State Ministry of Agriculture. Loach says he too is disappointed with the state officials and he is demanding his full payment according to the new salary structure.
We have protest today for the mismanagement of public resources based in Jonglei State. That's why we protest today to march to the finance office to demand our right as the civil servant of Jonglei State. We are here to demand that the government of Jonglei State must take the immediate action right away from 13th of this day. And I call all the national government to intervene in this process.
Jonglei State Acting Governor Tuong Majuk says his office is aware of the civil servants' concerns and has vowed to address their demands.
The government committed to write a letter that to convene them. Now we have written a letter, and then they will be given a copy, and then for them to uplift the strike. And also we agree that the salaries are to be received as from now, if they receive their checks. As per this agreement, I think there will be nothing more to happen, and we are expecting a relevant calm in the town.
Samuel Majerloch is the Secretary General of the Jonglei State Workers Union.
We ask the government to put this agreement in the writing. So we need that letter now. If we got the letter, we are going to call a meeting, then maybe we are going to resolve to call the strike off.
Some security officers, including those from the police and National Security Service, were seen assaulting and harassing protesters and journalists covering the event. Protester Yuang Arao was one of them.
They have tortured many people here, even including me, just because of our claim of this right of ours, and they are still actually after us. These policemen, they are even under payment, they are even under faith, and they are still even trying to torture us, which is very bad.
Jonglei State Police Commissioner Major General Joseph Mayena Akon acknowledges that some protesters were assaulted by a few security officers. General Akon apologized and vowed to reorient police officers in order to respect peaceful protesters.
I condemn it. it is not good because, you know, we the police, we are the one to stop the violence. So not to create it. But I heard it that some teachers were beaten. But I'm very sorry for that. So those teachers are civilian, and they were not coming with the violence.
The protesters called on the governor, Dinay Jok Chagur, to resign, saying he has done little to protect the rights of civil servants, including teachers, and that corruption has flourished under his administration. They say teachers in villages live in fear because of widespread insecurity. Some protesters said teachers who were riding bikes to give lessons in Anyidi Payam were attacked and murdered in cold blood last month. A recent report by Transparency International ranks South Sudan as the second most corrupt nation in the world. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor, Jonglei State.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, South Sudan's first vice president has suggested a new name for his country. Find out if that name is popular after this break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Some residents of the South Sudan's capital, Juba, are expressing mixed views over first Vice President Riek Machar's suggestion to change South Sudan's name to the People's Republic of Sudan. Some residents say while the idea is simply Machar's opinion, others say the suggested name change is not a priority for the country. For VOA News, Viola Elias has more from Juba.
First Vice President Machar suggested the name change during the official launch of the SPLM-IO Secretariat in Juba on Saturday, arguing the word South refers to a direction and therefore he prefers the country's name to be changed to the People's Republic of Sudan. He says talks are underway to suggest a more suitable name for South Sudan.
I hope you will accept my People's Republic of Sudan. When you say South, South is a direction, it's not a name. What is your nationality? I am Sudanese. Looks awkward because I can call my son, I have a son of my brother called Sudan. But can I call him Junubi? Ellen Diu Manatanil Junubda. It is a direction. But then our people get stuck to it. Congo, there is Democratic Republic of Congo, there is Republic of Congo. It doesn't have anything. So these are issues we will continue discussing until we arrive to consensus.
Juba resident Wani Yusuf says changing the country's name is not a priority given that there are much more pressing issues at stake, such as graduation of the unified forces, repatriation of refugees, and resettlement of returnees. Yusuf says Machar should be suggesting more reasonable things, like how the government prepares for a population census as the country prepares for an election in 2023. He also notes that South Sudan is not the first country to be named after a location.
Countries like South Africa, South Korea, even South America as a continent. Putting the name South, it will never add anything to the country. So it has nothing, really has nothing that it can add. From South Sudan to People's Republic of Sudan, it has added nothing. And it makes no sense. The reason why we separated from the Northern Sudan. They call themselves Sudanese, and we have to differentiate ourselves by saying we are South Sudanese.
Yusuf says all the name change from Southern Sudan to New Sudan to now South Sudan has not made any difference. Another Juba resident who prefers to be identified as Tito says he agrees with Machar that South Sudan is a geographical location.
South Sudan has no permanent constitution as we talk. In fact, This constitution should be served by NCAC, the National Constitution Amendment Committee, whether or not, or maybe could be debated in upper and parliament, that is parliament, the national parliament. So the suggestion is good. I agree with the idea, but vice president and another president. In all aspects, all these suggestions could come after election if it happened that is the president of the country.
Another Juba resident, Agnes John, says she never expected Machar to suggest a name change.
I expected the first vice president to be like giving out information how we are going to conduct election. As for the first time, a country like South Sudan is conducting something called election, because majority doesn't know something called election. If I go back to the current financial crisis that we have in the country, why can't he look back? Even if we change the name, even to Heaven Sudan, it will not change our current financial crisis that we have in the country. Instead of wasting time changing names, why can't they boost up our agriculture?
Some South Sudanese have criticized Machar's suggestions on social media, saying people like the current name, Republic of South Sudan. They say what the country needs now is peace and stability to unite divided communities. Another commentator on Facebook said, I quote, let him first change the situation of the people and later propose to change the country's name. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
A delegation from South Sudan is in Khartoum to meet with Sudanese leaders to discuss Sudan's peace implementation. President Salva Kiir's security advisor, who is leading the delegation, says South Sudan remains concerned about the future of the Juba peace agreement and recent intercommunal violence in Darfur. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
The delegation led by Presidential Security Advisor Tut Galwak arrived Khartoum on Saturday to meet with Sudanese leaders and offer help in resolving the country's political crisis in Darfur. Speaking to reporters upon arriving, Galwak said the Kiir's administration is concerned about the political stability in neighboring Sudan. He says his team is in the Sudanese capital to follow up on the implementation of Juba peace deal signed between the transitional government and AMNO opposition group groups in 2020, which covers security arrangements, training and deployment of various forces. Galwak says the delegation is also in Khartoum to show its support for the political agreement signed between Prime Minister Abdullah Hamdok and military leader Abdul Fattah al-Burhan.
Sudan's stability matters to us, and we are ready to take any step that leads to stability. That is why we came to follow up on all the files with our brothers here in Sudan, including the head of the Sovereign Council and the members in addition to the Prime Minister. We want to make sure there is some political agreement and all provisions of the Juba Peace Agreement are implemented.
Galwak describes the recent escalation of intercommunal conflicts in some parts of Darfur as worrying, saying such violence violates the provision on security arrangements stipulated in the Juba Peace Deal. He says carrying out the peace deal's security arrangements provision should be speeded up, saying areas such as Darfur are complex and the deployment of joint security forces is urgently needed to protect civilians.
We have noticed renewed war in Darfur, and yet the peace agreement stipulates for the deployment of joint forces in the area to replace the UN and African peacekeeping forces and maintain security for civilians. We want to ensure that this force is deployed, and then we also discuss the beginning of the training of other forces in Darfur, Blue Nile and Nuba Mountains according to the security arrangement matrix.
Under the Juba peace agreement, a 12,000-strong force made up of various Sudanese forces was supposed to be deployed in Darfur within 90 days to secure the area and provide protection for civilians. Dozens of people have been killed and scores of others injured in West Darfur's Jebel Moon locality and the surrounding villages. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, or UN OCHA, in Sudan says more than 2,000 families have been displaced and have crossed into the neighboring Chad. Galwak says his team will also meet with all the peace partners in Sudan to see how to resolve their dispute over conflict in eastern Sudan, referred to as the Eastern Track in the Juba peace deal.
We want to find a solution to the Eastern Triad with all the parties to the agreement, a solution that will be convincing to all Sudanese. What matters to us is to see the people of Eastern Sudan engaged in the process of implementing the agreement.
Members of the Beja community of Eastern Sudan have called for the suspension of the Eastern Track signed between the transitional government and the Sudan Revolutionary Front, an umbrella group of 9 armed opposition groups, arguing citizens of Eastern Sudan were misrepresented during the negotiations. Abdullah Obshar, a spokesperson for the Beja community, says his community is ready to engage in a genuine dialogue to resolve the matter and allow the area to develop.
We believe that the culture of holding conferences among communities is the only way that will solve the problem of Eastern Sudan. We are ready to engage in a dialogue with all the concerned parties and to resolve all the outstanding issues once and for all. We reject any unilateral decision by any armed group to speak on behalf of the people of Eastern Sudan.
The South Sudan delegation was expected to meet today with all signatories to the Juba Peace Agreement to review the status of the implementation of the terms of the agreement. For VOA News, I'm Michael Atit in Khartoum.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linar Moudou. The World Health Organization and the Africa Centers for Disease Control say there are no drugs approved to fight COVID-19. If you have tested positive, talk to a doctor before taking any medicines. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa. This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA health correspondent Linor Moudou. During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's all we prepared for you this Monday. We now leave you with some Baka traditional song from Tore Payam of Yei County. Been listening to a Baka traditional song from Tore Payam in Central Equatorial State. I'm John Tanza. Thanks for allowing us into your homes, phones, and vehicles. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.